Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. As we mentioned in our previous shiur that we were leaving off in the middle of a sugya, the question that had been raised was, if one is fasting on a Friday, does one complete the fast till the very end of the day and enter Shabbos in a state of fasting, or no? We had left off our discussion with Ula's psak that the halacha shall follow Rabbi Yossi, that one is mashlim the tzon, that one finishes off the fast. At this point, we now ask a question. You'll notice we have a long question marking that takes in a Tanaic source that challenges this. Umi avdinon kerabiosi? Are we to follow? Are we to follow the practice as in accordance with Rabiosi's opinion? Viromini, we raise a contradiction to this idea from the following source. Ein goizrin tainis al hatzibor b'roshe chodoshim b'chanaka uvapurim. A public fast is not to be declared on a Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah, or Purim. If there's a situation where a series of fasts had been established a number of days before, and then if it ran into, let's say, Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh, it might be of value to know that public fasting was imposed when there would be lack of rainfall, so that Hanukkah and Purim come out during the rainy season. And it could be that a series of fasts had been established beforehand, and then it ran into these days. So we say, im hischil, if they started their series of fasting, then ein mafsikin, we don't stop them. Divrei Rabban Gamliel. Omar Rabbi Meir, afal pi shomer amil ein mafsikin, even though Rabban Gamliel says we don't stop the fast days, even though they might fall out or coincide with Hanukkah or Purim, Moida hoya she'ein mashimin. Rabbi Gamliel concedes that you don't fast the entire day till the very end when it comes out to a fast that falls out on Hanukkah or Rosh Chodesh. V'chein b'tisha b'av shechal liyos b'erev Shabbos. Likewise, with regard to a tisha b'av that falls out on a Friday, we do not finish it. We don't finish the fast. In other words, toward the end of Friday, one will eat something. V'tanya liachar p'tirosu sh'Rav Gamliel nichnas Rabbi Yeshua lohofir es dvorov. When Rav Gamliel passed away, Rabbi Yeshua entered and said, we are not going to practice like him anymore, but rather we are going to finish off the fasting. Omar Rabbi Yochanan menuri al raglo v'omar. Rabbi Yochanan arose to his feet and declared, chozi ano de boser resha gufo ozil. I note that that following the head, the body follows. In other words, we have to follow the way of our predecessors. In other words, the earlier ruling. Kol yomov shel Rav Gamliel kavanu halacha kamoso. All the days of Rav Gamliel, we establish halacha like him, that one does not finish the fast. Av shavata mevakish levatel dvor. Now you come and want to abrogate his teaching. Yoshua ein shomin lecha. We are not going to listen to you. Shekvar nikba halacha Rav Gamliel. The halacha has already been established, like Rav Gamliel. V'lo hoya adam she'irer b'dover klum, and there was no one that protested that. What's the point? We see from here that we don't mashlim, we don't finish off the fasting on Friday. The Gemara responds to this and says, "Bedoro shel Rav Gamliel avud k'Rav Gamliel. In the generation of Rav Gamliel, they followed his teaching. Bedoro shel Rabbi Yossi, however, in a later generation, which was quite a bit after Rav Gamliel, then avud k'Rav Yossi. We follow Rabbi Yossi's ruling. which says that one does finish the fasting on Friday. The Gemara asks, "Ubedoro shel Rabbi Gamliel ovud k'Rabbi Gamliel." Is that really so that in the generation of Rabbi Gamliel, they followed him and not finishing off the fast? V'ha Tanya. Now we raise a question, and this question lasts a number of lines, as the marking indicates. Do we not have the following source? Omar Rebbe Lozar, Reb Tzodok. It should be noted that this Reb Lozar Reb Tzodok was in the generation of Rabbi Gamliel, and he says, "Ani mibnei Sanov ben Binyamin. I am from the family. I'm a descendant of the family of Sanov ben Binyamin." This was a family that, during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they brought what's known as a korban etzim. It's an offering of wood, a wood offering. This is a reference to different families that supplied the wood for the Mizbeach. And the day that they would bring the wood was a type of family holiday. And their assigned day was the 10th of Av. So Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Sotok tells, Pam achas chal Tisha B'Av lios b'Shabbos. It once happened that Shabbos coincided with Tisha B'Av, v'dochinuhu l'achar ha-Shabbos, and Tisha B'Av was then pushed till after Shabbos, which is the 10th of Av, in fact, their family holiday. V'saninu b'Av v'lo hishlamnuhu. We fasted, but we didn't finish it off. Mipnei sheyom tov shelonu hoya. It's because it was our Yom Tov. Now, so what do we see in this source? The story of Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Sotok, that they did not finish the fast. And we want to emphasize, Taimo de Yom Tov. The reason they didn't finish the fast is because it came out on their actual holiday. Ha Erev Yom Tov, Mashlimin. But it was Erev Yom Tov, and that is the case of every Tisha B'Av. Every Tisha B'Av, by definition, is the 9th of Av, was for the son of Ben Binyamin family, was Erev Yom Tov. So we infer from this source that the only reason they didn't finish the fast was because it came on in the actual day. However, had it been the Erev, the eve of the holiday, they would have finished it. And that's not like Rabban Gamliel. Omar Ravina. Ravina says this is not proof. Shaini Yom Tov Shel Divrehem. The case of a rabbinic type holiday, like was the case of the wood bringers holiday, that's different. Mitoch Shemisanin Boi Shois Mashlimin Bo Arvios. From the fact that on these we call it the rabbinic holidays, that we know on the day itself they would fast hours, Shos or hours, they would fast on the day itself. So when it came to, as we saw, that Tisha B'Av was celebrated on the day itself, it says that they would fast but didn't finish it off. So they fasted what's called Shos, hours of the day. So from the fact that on a rabbinic type holiday, you can actually observe part of the day in fasting. So Mashlimin Bo Arvios. When it comes to the eve of those kind of holidays, you would finish it off. However, Shabbos, Hayul V'Amis Anin Baal Shos, when it comes to Shabbos, and of course we'll talk about Erev Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos itself, you don't fast any part of it, even if it's a matter of an hour at the end. There's no fasting whatsoever on Shabbos day itself. Ein Mashlimin Bo Arvios. So the eve of Shabbos, which is Friday, you don't finish off a fast that was practiced on Friday or started on Friday, but you eat toward the end. So that concept of Ein Mashlimin Bo of Erev Shabbos is in accordance with Rabban Gamliel. So in this section of Gemara, the Gemara had raised the question, is it in the time of, in the door of Rabban Gamliel, did they actually follow his teaching? The answer is yes. If you thought to challenge his teaching from the case involving the Korban Eitzim of the son of Ben Binyamin family, that is not proof against the practice of Rabban Gamliel. Omar Rav Yosef, lo shmia li ha shmaitza. Rav Yosef declares that I didn't hear this teaching, namely the teaching that of Ula, who paskined that the halacha is like Rav Yosi, that that one does complete a fast on Friday. Omar le Abaye. Abaye explains to Rav Yosef, at amris nihalon, v'aho amris nihalon, you taught us Ula's ruling, and on the following, you taught it to us. Now, it's pointed out here and in many other places throughout the Shas, Rabbi Yosef had taken ill at a certain point in his life, and as a result of the illness, he forgot his Torah learning, his Torah teachings. And we find Abaye recounting for Rabbi Yosef many things that he had himself taught. So that this is a story taking place after Rabbi Yosef had experienced the illness and got better, but things had been, he had forgotten certain things, and Abaye here is recounting that. So we have a source. Ein goyzrin tainis al hatzibur b'roshei chadoshim. One is not to rule upon a fast that on a Rosh Chodesh. V'chule. This is a quote from that which we saw above, in the middle part of the Omid. V'amrinan Allah, and regarding this source, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir, She'omar Mishum Rabban Gamliel. This teaching of the source above is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, who said it in the name of Rabban Gamliel. Avo chachomim oimrim misane umashlim. The chachomim, however, say that one fasts and finishes. Now, we should point out that the source above, we are really referring to the clause in the source that says that even though one might find himself fasting on Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah Purim in the event that they established the fasting before, he was moida that ein mashlimen. That was what we saw above. Regarding this, Rav, we see here the psak of Rav Yudah Marav that Rav Yosef had taught, that according to the Chachomim, though, Misana Umashlim. Now, we have to point out that this idea of Mashlim we saw earlier in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Rashi points out from the fact that that Rav is teaching the opinion of Rav Yossi in the, and using the name Chachomim, which means the collective sages, that would show that this opinion is given great authority. So, my lav, akulu. This ruling of Misanu Mashlim, does that not include all of the days referred to earlier? Including, when we say akulu, that includes Chanukah Purim, whether if whether you're talking about whenever it falls out, including the case of it falling out on Erev Shabbos, which was mentioned before in the source above, it mentioned there Tisha B'Av Shechal Lios B'Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says Loi Achanaka Upurim. It's referring to just Chanukah and Purim, the cases there of Misana Umashlim would refer to that, but not including Erev Shabbos. Hochi nami mistabra. It's also most likely that the psak of Misanu Mashlim is a reference only to Chanuk and Purim, but not including Erev Shabbos. The Isal Kedaitach Akulhu, if you were to think that Rav Yehuda's teaching, Rav Yehuda quoted Rav, that includes Erev Shabbos, yeah, but Habo Amine Rabo Me Rav Yehuda Velo Poshat Le. Rabbo had asked Rav Yehuda this very question at the bottom of Mem Omid Beis. We have a little reference, little mark, the star that you see to the side. You can see that same marking appears at the bottom of Mem Omid Beis, where the question was posed to Rav Yehuda. And what was his response there? He didn't answer him. Velo Poshetle. There it said, Velo Hava Biyodei. So the very, very question of Erev Shabbos had been posed to Rav Yehuda. He didn't answer it, so it must be that the psak here of Mashlim that's mentioned by Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav is not referring to Erev Shabbos. Otherwise, he would have been able to answer the question over there. The Gemara, though, rejects this point, and this rejection lasts a number of lines. So we're going to end up after the rejection by saying that the ruling of Rav Yehuda Marav of Mashlim might very well, yes, include Erev Shabbos. Which would, by the way, be in accordance with the ruling that we saw Ula made when he paskened like Rav Yossi. So the Gemara points out, he says, Uletameich, that you're trying to prove your point from the fact that Rav Yehuda was asked about Erev Shabbos and didn't answer it, that therefore Rav Yehuda's din here is not including Erev Shabbos. Well, ha de dorash mar zutra mishmei de Rav Huna. Later in the Gemara we'll see this quoted, but mar zutra said in the name of Rav Huna, halacha misanu mashlim, that the halacha is that you shall fast on a Friday. If the Friday coincides with a fast day, you fast and finish off the fast, finish off Friday in fasting. Yeah, but Habo Aminei Rabba Miravuna Velo Poshetle. Rabba asked this very question back on Mem Omid Beis to Rav Huna, and Rav Huna didn't answer the question. And yet here you see Rav Huna taking a stand. Elohama Kami Deshama, Vahala Basar Deshama. One is before Rav Huna heard what the din should be. Before Rav Huna heard from Rav the way the din should be. And the teaching that Mar Zutra quotes in the name of Rav Huna is after Rav Huna heard the teaching in the name of Rav that you're Mashlim. Ha Hanami, so too with regard to Rav Yehuda. Ha Mekami Deshama, one is before he heard the din, and that was the case we saw in Mem Beis where he didn't have an answer. Ha Lebasar Deshama, that which you see at the bottom of Omid Aleph, Rav Yehuda quoting Rav that says Misan Mashlim will in fact include Erev Shabbos, that you finish it off, and that's after Rav Yehuda heard it from Rav. Here the Gemara makes reference to what we mentioned earlier. Dorash Marzucha Mishmei de Rav Huna Halacha Misanin Umashlimin. The halacha is that you a fast day that coincides with Friday, you fast and complete the Friday in a state of fasting. At this point, you can see we have finished the third perek of Erevin, and now start the fourth perek, Mi Shehotziuhu. Before we begin the perek, let's just remind anyone who wants to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We now turn to the fourth perek, Mi Shehotziuhu Nochrim Oruach Ra'ah. Someone who was overpowered by Gentiles, and they took him out of his tchum. Of course, they talking about Shabbos, some Nochrim overtook some area, or overtook this individual, and carried him beyond the city limits more than 2,000 amas. Or, he was seized by a Ruach Ra, which is literally an evil spirit. Rashi says some type of demonic force entered him and made him crazy, and he wandered beyond the tchum. Ein lo ela dalamas. cannot walk more than 4 amos. Hichziruhu, he was then returned to within the tchum, kilu lo yotza. It's as if he didn't leave at all. Rashi says, kilu lo yotza, are kol ha'ir lo kedalet amos kebatchila. The city in which he lives is considered like, even though it might be a very large city, the city itself is considered like 4 amos. The chutzalo alpayim amo lechoruach, and he has the original 2,000 amo belt around the city that he can walk. Holichuhu liir acheres. He was taken to another city. Another enclosed city. Nosnu bedir obasar, who was placed in another type of enclosure. A deer or sahar are different forms of enclosures. Rav Gamliel, Rav Loza ben Azari Omrim, a person like this, say, they rule mahalich es kula. He can walk within the enclosed area, the entire enclosed area. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva Omrim, ein lo elo dalet amos. He cannot take advantage of the fact that he is in a new enclosed area, but he is also restricted to 4 amos. Maisa shebo mi pandarasin, an incident where they came from a place called Pandarasin, fefligos finoson bayam, and they were on a boat, and we'll see shortly different tanoim who were on the boat. And it went to the heart. The fligo means the boat distanced itself into we'll call the deep sea. Rav Gamliel, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, holchu eskula. Even though they traveled quite a distance, much more than the tchum of the city, they are. It's now Shabbos, so Rav Gamliel, Rav Elazar said they can walk throughout the entire boat. Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Kiva, lo zozu midalat amos, sherotzu lahachmir al atzmon. They didn't move out of their 4 amos because they wanted to impose upon themselves a stringency. Pam achas lo nichnasu lanamoat shechashecha. It was on an occasion, they entered the nomol as the port, the dock or the port, after darkness of Shabbos. Shabbos set in. Omru lo the Rav Gamliel, manu leirid, can we disembark the boat from the boat? Omar lahem mutora matem, you can get off the boat. Shikvar hoyisi mistakel, I was able to observe. V'hoyinu besoch hatchum ad shelo chashecha, we were within 2,000 amos of this town before darkness set in, so that after Shabbos set in, the distance they traveled was within 2,000 amos. They didn't travel that much after Shabbos had set in. From the point that Shabbos set in until they reached the port, they had not violated Tchum or gone beyond the Tchum. So the town in which they are disembarking is within the Tchum of that they had at the point Shabbos entered. Before we continue with the Gemara, we glance at the sign under our Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll see a double underline appears. This is Sidro Shel Shloisha Dvorim, a series of lists of 3. There, a diamond will appear. I'll call Rushima after each list is featured. The Gemara, HaGemara Shoelis Lamai Nafkaminov. What value is there for us in knowing these lists? Tonu Rabbanan. Shloisha Dvorim Ma'avirin Es Ha'odom Al Daito. And the reason we are starting with this list is because the Mishnah had made reference to a Ruach Ra. And in this list, you'll see number 2 of this list of 3 items is called Ruach Ra. So it says here that there are 3 things that are Ma'avirin Es Ha'odom Al Daito, the Al Das Kono. There are 3 things that are capable of literally removing a person from his mind and from the will of his master, meaning the will of Hashem. You might say in In other terms, there are three things that are capable of driving a person insane, driving him crazy, or being losing control over his affairs. Now, what are the three things? Oivdei kechovim, idol worshippers. Two, ruach ra, the demonic spirit that might enter a person. And three, dikduke anius, someone who is severely impoverished. And it's dealing with poverty can lead a person to lose it. To lose himself. Lamai nafkamina, of what value is there in knowing this? Answer, lemivi rachmi olayu, to pray for these people, people who are being victimized by idol worshippers or by some type of demonic spirit or severely impoverished. Pray for their well-being. It might be that, in other words, they are in such dire straits that the only thing that really can help them is prayer, is divine intervention. There are three that, because of their suffering, are spared from purgatory. In other words, they've experienced so much oppression, so much difficulty in this world, that they are redeemed from needing to go through any further purification. Who are they? One, dikduke anius, we just saw that, a person who's leads a life of severe poverty. The choile me'ayim, people who suffer from digestive ailments. And the horoshus, people that are subjugated or oppressed by debt collectors, people that owe money, and the creditors are seeking payment. And another opinion adds someone who has a difficult spouse or a bad wife. Now, why, you might ask, is the bad wife not included in the first three? Why is it brought as a Yesh Omrim? The first opinion says Isha Ra mitzvah legarsha. A person who feels victimized by an Isha Ra, it's a mitzvah upon him, it's an obligation upon him to divorce her, so that so that after he divorces her, he'll live a more reasonable existence. Hence, to say that he won't see Gehenim is not reasonable. The Idoch, the Yesh Omrim opinion, why does he say that he will be saved from Gehenim as a result of the Isha Ra? Because he can't divorce her. Some cases he might have a very large marriage settlement to pay her, that the money that was guaranteed to her in the event of divorce, that's written into the ksuba marriage document. Inami isle bonim minovalo motzi megarshla, or he has small children that need their mother for daily care, and he can't divorce her and send her out, because who is going to take care of his children otherwise? Lamai nafgamina, of what value is there for us to know what this source teaches, that these three or these in this list are saved from Gehenim? Likbuli me'avo, people that suffer from these should then understand to accept their lot with understanding, with love from Hashem, who knows, with the love of Hashem, and realizing that this serves as repentance for him, yielding the great situation, the great reward of being spared from purgatory. So if you know that as a result of suffering through all of this, you'll be spared from Gehenim, it can serve to change one's attitude and accept his lot with love. Another list, Shloisha Mason Kishain Mesaprin, there are three that could die without any prior warning. And it was literally die as they are talking. People suffering from chole me'ayim, this is already a second time we're seeing a reference to the chole me'ayim, people suffering from digestive ailments. It's a type of situation where you don't see, there are no pre-signs of his imminent death, and he can drop dead instantly, immediately. Chaya is a woman who is in childbirth or very shortly after childbirth, and Hedroikin is another type of disease. L'may nafka mina, of what value is there for us in knowing this? Answer, l'mishmushi b'hu zavdesa, to prepare shrouds for them, so that if you see a person in these different states, it's beneficial to know that it's to have shrouds, tachrichin, there, because they could die without you having received any other warning. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our mivneh, our nosei topic heading, where we read Din Shel Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. We're going to read about, we're going to learn about his halacha. Yotze Ladas Ein Lo Ela Arba Amos. One who left his Tchum Shabbos knowingly. We say he has no rights to walk more than four Amos. Bein im chozar ledas, bein im afilu ichziru nochrim. Whether he returned on his own, or even if he was put back into his original location by Gentiles. In other words, forcibly put back into his original location. According to Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, the problem, the burden arises because he initially left Bidas. The Gemara. Omer of Nachman Amar Shmuel, Yotza Ladas, Ein Lo Ela Arba Amos. A person who leaves his Tchum, so when he's on the other side, when he's gone beyond the Tchum, so he cannot walk any more than four Amos. The Gemara asks, and you'll see that we have a series of triangles, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, Kushos al Din Shel Rav Nachman will be challenging his teaching. At each stage, after the challenge is raised, you'll see a squiggle underline that indicates Tikkun Loshon Eloema, where we're going to be restating that which we said to make more sense. So Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel just told us that one who leaves the Tchum Bedas knowingly, he has a restriction of not being allowed to walk more than four Amos, whereas asks Pshita, that seems to be obvious. It's obvious based on what we have learned already in the Mishnah. Hashto mishotziu nochrim ein lo el arba Amos. Mind you, someone who was taken out forcibly by Gentiles, nevertheless, he's restricted to four Amos. Yotze ledas mibaya, someone who knowingly or willingly walked beyond the Tchum, certainly he would be restricted. So do I need to be taught that? Mibaya means, do I need to be taught that? Elo em also, rather say, chozar ledas ein lo elo dalet amos. So what Rav Nachman is telling me is something else, that if he came back into the Tchum knowingly, he is likewise restricted. The Gemara says, well, Hanami Tanina, that also has been taught. I don't need Rav Nachman. I've already learned this in an earlier source. We were taught, Hichziru Nochrim Kiilu Lo Yotza. And from this we can infer, Hichziru Hu Dikiilu Lo Yotza, that if he was forcibly returned by the Gentiles, then it's as if he didn't leave and he would have no restrictions. Aval hotziu nochrim v'chazar ledas ein lo elo dalet amos. However, as we said, we can infer though that if his return was not by the nochrim, but his return was on his own volition, he would be restricted. So what do I need Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel to teach me even the case of chazar ledas? Elo emo, rather say as follows. Yotso ledas v'hichziru nochrim ein lo elo dalet amos. That if someone went out of his tchum knowingly and Gentiles put him back to his original place, he is restricted to four amos. The Gemara asks, again, ha'nami tanina. But this too was alluded to by the Mishnah, the Mishnah which we would learn with its inference, making Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel even if you restate him like we just did, making him superfluous. What did we see in the Mishnah? Hotzi uhu. This is a reference to the beginning of the Mishnah where it said, Misha hotzi uhu nochrim. And it went on in the Mishnah. That's why we have three dots here. It went on to teach v'hichzi ru'u. In the Mishnah, you can go back to the first line of the Mishnah. It said, Misha tzu nochrim o'ruach ro, ein lo dalet amos, hichziru ki'ilu lo yotza. And now, when we saw in the Mishnah, ki'ilu lo yotza, the person has no restrictions. So under what circumstances, according to the Mishnah, are there no restrictions? Hotziuhu v'chziru. That's if on both ends of the equation, his removal from the tchum and his restoration to his original tchum was done forcibly. Then, and only then, do we grant him the ability to walk without restriction. In other words, meaning he has his entire original city plus tchum. Avol yotza ledas lo. But if he had originally gone out knowingly, he does not have any more than just four amos. This information then is gleaned from the Mishnah. What do I need, Rav? What do I need Shmuel for? The Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, what do I need him for? So if we just go back the last three lines, we had Elo Emo. We thought that Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel was teaching that Yotze Ledas Echziru Nochem Ein Lo El Adalin Amois, that itself could have been inferred from the Mishnah. The Gemara says no. Mahu Detemo. Without Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, I might have thought Litzdodin Kotoni, that the Mishnah which taught its din is taught in two parts. In other words, the opening line of the Mishnah, Hotziuhu, is not connected with the Hichziru. By our connecting them, that enabled us to make the inference leading to restriction. However, if you don't connect them, so then we wouldn't have reached that restriction. And therefore, if you say that there is a restriction, it will only be thanks to Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel. So the Gemara now goes on to explain a Havamina, how I might have learned the Mishnah, thereby not enabling me to come to the conclusion that's ruled by Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel. So what's the Havamina? I might have thought that the Mishnah is Litzdodin Kotoni. What does that mean? Two separate cases. Mi Shotziu Nochrim, someone who was taken out of the tchum by Gentiles, the chozar ledas, ein lo ela dalet amos. Someone like that has only four amos. Avol yotza ledas v'chziruhu nochrim. But if he went out knowingly, and we dot underline this because this is the case that Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel is talking about. What would I have known had I just had the Mishnah? I would have thought that whereas Yotze Ledas, he went out of the tomb willingly, v'chziru nochrim, and was forcibly put back into his original location by the Gentiles, ki'ilu lo yotza. I would have thought that had I just had the Mishnah, that it's as if he didn't leave and he would be able to walk his entire original area. Kamash Molon comes along Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel to tell me that the Mishnah is not Litzdodin Kotoni, but it's rather like we saw at the last, the most recent triangle, that they are really one case, and we can infer from that only then we say Kilu Yotza, but once he's Yotza Ledas, even though he might be put back in by the Nochrim, he still has a Dalet Amos restriction. Bo mine me rabo. The question was asked of Rabo. Hutzruch l'nikov of mahu. A person needs to relieve himself. But which person? We look at Rashi. Hutzruch l'nikov of ze shotzu nochrim. Someone who was taken out forcibly out of this tchum by goyim, by the Gentiles. Mahu lotseis midalir amoisov. Can he leave the four amos? We saw in the Mishnah, we saw someone who was taken out of his tchum by Nochrim, Eino el Adalan Amos. Let us say, you know, if you're going to restrict a person to four Amos, it'll be rather disgusting, let us say, for this person, if he needs to relieve himself, he has to defecate, that he'll have to be restricted. So he's asking, someone who's Hutzuch L'Nikovov, under those circumstances, can he go beyond the four Amos that he otherwise is restricted to? Omar Lahem, so Rabo answers, Golo Kovod Abrios, great is the Torah's concern for human dignity, that it overrules a negative command in the Torah. Now, it doesn't mean just any negative command. We're referring to the ruling in the Torah that exhorts us, lo sosuru mimenu, the one shall not deviate from the teachings of the rabbis. So if you have something that is a rabbinic teaching, the Torah gives credence to rabbinic teachings by telling me, don't lo sosur, that's a negative command, don't veer off. However, if the issue is maintenance of human dignity versus fulfillment of rabbinic ruling, human dignity will overrule. Likewise, over here, we're dealing with a rabbinic concern, a rabbinic restriction. Rashi says that Bechlal, Tchumen is the Rabbonon, and hence if there's an issue of human dignity or maintaining the rules of Tchumen, human dignity will overrule. And therefore, if he needs to relieve himself, he can go beyond. This person who was taken out of his Tchum by the Nochrim can go more than four Amos in order to relieve himself. Amri Nardoi, Ipikeach Hu, if this person is wise, is on the ball, this guy who needs to relieve himself, and the Rabbanan gave him rishus to go beyond his four Amos, so ayil l'tchuma, he will use the opportunity to go back within his original tchum, the cave of the all, and once he enters, it's as if he never left. Rashi says, and this is important to note, ayil l'tchuma v'kim v'all, which means once he enters, umutur, he is then allowed, ki'ilu lo yotza, it's as if he never left. The hall birshus all, because here his entrance is something done with halachic consent. It's not the same as someone who was chazar ledas, and therefore, since his return is birshus velogora mirziru, Rashi says it's not any worse than the case of someone who was forcibly taken out and forcibly returned by Gentiles. Under which circumstances we say it's as if he never left. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei topic heading. Peros shiotsu chutz l'tchum v'chozer. Here we're going to talk about fruits that had left their domain, their tchum, and were brought back into it. Just by way of background, we have learned in previous Gemaras that food that comes to a Jew on Shabbos from outside the Tchum, so he is not allowed to partake of it. Now, the Gemara. Omar of Papa. Peres shiotsu chutz l'tchum. V'chozru. Afilu b'mezid. Lo hifsidu es mekoimon. Peros, the fruit that had been taken out of their location outside their tchum, and then were brought back in to the tchum, even knowingly, they don't lose their place, their location. In other words, then those fruits can be carried around throughout the city, and if it's Yom Tov, and within 2,000 amas of the outside border as well. My taima, why do you say that the fruits are lo hifsidu es mekoman? Answer, anusim ninhu. The fruits themselves were moved around against their will, obviously. The anusim, Rashi says, anusim ayadei hamotzion, the person who carried them out, he made the decisions, so to speak. It's not the fruits. So the fruits movement outside of the tum, was being taken outside the tum, was against their will. So it's like the case in the Mishnah where something was taken out, a person was taken out and brought back all against his will. Lo, it's ki'ilu lo yotza. Esve Rav Yosef bar Shmaya lo Rav Papa. Rav Yosef raises an objection to Rav Papa. Rabbi Nechemia Rav Elezer ben Yankiv Omrim lo oilam asurim ad shiyachsuru lemekomon shogigin. The fruits will be forbidden until their return to the tum was done by mistake. B'shogeg in b'mezid lo. This is the challenge to Rav Papa, the inference here, that their ruling says only if their return was done unwittingly. However, if their return was done knowingly, they are not allowed. They do mafsid es mekoyman. They lose as a result. The Gemara says, Tanoihi, the issue is a machloikis tanoim. In other words, Rav Papa's ruling, we'll call it his lenient ruling, that even if they are returned to the tchum knowingly, lo hifsiras makoma, that's a machloikis tanoim. Now, a word about structure. The Gemara just mentioned that Rav Papa's ruling is a machloikis tanoim. We, on the right-hand side of the Gemara text, have a long point marking, a nekuda. The nun is a nekuda. And this takes in quite a bit of Gemara. In other words, half of Mem, Beis, Omed, Aleph is occupied with this singular point. However, as the Gemara unfolds, there's a give and take. Under our Mivneh heading, you can note that we have a house marking that we call a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. This is a raya ditanoi, with the house roof, the point facing upwards. This is, it will then serve as a proof or pointing in the direction that Rav Papa's ruling is a machlokes tanoim, and when it inverts with the point facing down, that's a dechia, rejection of that point. We have also a note, a starred note on the other margin, where we've written he'ora, the note, b'tzad yamin simanu es ha'tanoi k'nekuda ruka. We pointed this out already, but it doesn't hurt to repeat. On the right-hand side of the Gemara text, we noted a long point marking. Avol, be'emtza ha'malach yesh t'chia, within the unfolding of the Gemara, the malach of the Gemara, there is a rejection. Ad shemagiyim lemaskona shebeemes tanoim, until we get to the conclusion of this section that it really is a machlokes tanoim. And betzat smol, on the left hand side of the Gemara text, simanu ma'akav achrei ma'alach agemara. You'll notice we've used a house form as the Gemara unfolds with a long marking combined, so that you can skim ahead and see. We open up with this point that it's a machlokes tanoim. Number of lines, the third of the way down, omid mem beis omid aleph. You'll notice the house is inverted again. That takes a number of lines, and then the house form is straightened up with the point facing up, indicating, like we originally said, that it is a machlokes tanoim. So we're focusing once again on the issue of perish yotzuchutz l'tchum, and they were chozru afilu b'mezid, and their return was done even knowing that it's a problem to bring the fruits back into the tchum, and nevertheless the fruits themselves can be carried throughout their original area. The Gemara, we read again from the beginning of Lam Tanoihi, the issue is a machlokas tanoim. Desanyo, peros yotzu chutz l'tchum. Peros that left their tchum area. B'shogeg yochlu, b'mezid lo yochlu. Or, that means if they left b'shogeg in an unwitting fashion, so they can be eaten where they are right now, outside the original tchum. Rashi says at the bottom line, the shogu yochlu b'mokolim shehein shom, where they are. Im yesh odom she'irev la'oso tza, there might be a person that made an eruv, enabling him to get there. In other words, if fruits were taken, let's say, to point 3,000 amas outside the city, so it's 1,000 amas beyond the tum of the city. However, a person may have set down an Eruv Tumin, allowing him to go up to 4,000 amas outside the city. So a person like that would be allowed to eat these fruits. Or there was another city from the other direction that was close to these fruits. So these fruits, though they left their tchum, if it was done b'shogeg, they could be eaten. B'mezid lo ye'ochlu. However, if they left their original tchum knowingly, someone knowingly carried them out, they cannot be eaten. Rabbi Nechemya Oimer, we're at the top of Mem Beis Omet Aleph. Rabbi Nechemya says, "B'mekoymon yochlu, shelo b'mekoymon lo yochlu." Rashi at the top, Rabbi Nechemya Oimer, "B'mekoymon im chazru l'mekoymon yochlu." If they were returned to their original place, they can be eaten. Avol shelo b'mekoymon, kozman shein chus l'tchum lo yochlu. As long as they are outside their original tchum, they cannot be eaten. The Gemara now clarifies, and we go through a few stages of clarification, and that the stage phenomenon we highlight with a double underline, and you can see we highlighted Elamo, and then a few lines later Elolav. So we're going to try to understand this source. My bimakomon, what is meant bimakomon? And this is a reference to the fruits having been restored to their original tchum, and Rabbi Nechemya allows. E lemo b'mekomon b'mezid, that they were restored to the original place, the original tchum, knowingly, and it says they can be eaten. He said at the top, b'mekomon yochlu, they can be eaten. V'alkatoni behedya, but it says explicitly, Rabbi Nechemya, for Belezer ben Yaakov Omrim, le'oilo masur nashiyavsu v'komun shogegin, b'shogegin b'mezid lo, that the fruits cannot be eaten until their return to the original tchum is b'shogeg, but not b'mezid. So the din of Rabbi Nechemya b'mekoimon, in their original tchum they can be eaten, it can't be that they were restored b'mezid, elolav b'mekoimon b'shogeg. That which Rambam says, "Mekomon, you can eat them." That's if they were restored to the original tchum b'shogeg. V'chisurei mechaser v'hachikatoni, and the source shall be read as follows. In other words, the original source was chisurei mechaser, was a bit abbreviated, and it should be understood as follows: Peros shi'otzu chutz l'tchum b'shogeg ye'ochlu b'mezid lo yochlu. Fruit that left their original tchum in an unwitting fashion, they can be eaten. B'mezid, however, if they left knowingly, they cannot be eaten. B'med v'mamurim, under what circumstances do we say that b'mezid lo ye'achlu, shelo b'mkomon? If they remain outside their tchum, aval b'mekomon afilu b'mezid ye'achlu. But if they are b'mekomon, their original tchum, even if they were restored b'mezid knowingly, they can be eaten. And we're pointing out between the lines, this is in accordance with Rav Papa. The also Rav Nechemi Lemeimar, Rav Nechem comes with a stringency and says, Afilu b'mekoma nami, even with regard to their original tum to which they are restored, b'shogeg in b'mezid lo. Only if they're restored b'shogeg, not if they are brought back b'mezid. Unlike Rav Papa. So at this point, we're showing you that Rav Papa is a machlokes tanoim, which the Gemara called tanoihi. The Gemara says lo, a rejection. B'mezid b'mekoymen d'kuliyama lo pligi d'oser. If you're talking about their original location, we should add here even their original location, needless to say outside the tchum. But even in their original location, if the fruits were restored b'mezid, everyone agrees you cannot eat them. And that's unlike Rav Papa, meaning that Rav Papa said something that that's against these tanoim. So there's no evidence that Rav Papa's din is a machlokes tanoim. Rather, he's against them. V'hacha b'shogeg shelo b'mekomon pligi. The Tanaic source that we are dealing with is a reference to the original removal from the tchum b'shogeg, an unwitting departure from the tchum. Tanakama sover b'shogeg shori shelo b'mkomon. The Tanakama says that if they were removed b'shogeg, they're allowed to be eaten. From Nechemiah sover afilu shogeg, even when you're dealing with the realm of the unwitting, b'mkomonin, only in their original tchum, if they're brought back, can they be eaten shelo b'mkomon lo. But if they are shelo b'mekomon, they cannot be eaten. Because Rabbi Nechemiah requires what we call tarti lehetero, two elements of heter. One is that they are in their original tchum, and secondly, that their restoration to the original tchum was done b'shogeg. The Gemara asks, v'ha midekotoni seifa, from the fact that it's taught in the Sefer as follows, Rabbi Nechemi Rabbi Lezer B'Yankiv Oimrin, L'oilom asurin ad shiachsu l'mekoimon shogegin. Shogegin b'mezid loy. The Rabbi Nechemi and Rabbi Lezer, they emphasize that there is no heter until they are restored to their original spot, b'shogeg. And the emphasis is, the inference is, their heter is only yes, b'shogeg, but not if they're restored, b'mezid. Michlal de Tanakama Sovar, it would then be obviously, one would infer from this, that the Tanakama, who argues with Rabbi Nechemiah, holds b'mezid nami shori, that even if they are restored to their original spot, b'mezid, it is allowed. Let's go over this point again. Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Lezer V'Yankiv say that there is no heter until they're restored b'shogeg. If they're restored b'mezid to the original tchum, they're not allowed. The Tanakamu disagrees. We'll be telling you that even if they are restored b'mezid, they are allowed. And that's like Rav Papa, Shma Mina. So this is proof that that which Rav Papa taught is a machloikas tanoim. And the basis for Rav Papa's teaching that if the fruits are restored, even if they happen to be restored b'mezid, they are allowed, that would be in accordance with the Tana Kama, the first Tanaic opinion. In closing, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.